G'day, Jonathan Green here from Sunday Extra. Many interviews in the past year, but this, I reckon this is one of my favourites. A question, is society broken? Are we lost, wallowing in moral and cultural decline? Has personal responsibility and self-discipline been eroded? Welfare dependency and the promise of economic equality? Or is that just the ABC? One man who has grappled with these questions, not uncontroversially, is Theodore Dalrymple, the nom de plume of the skeptical doctor, Anthony Daniels. He's a psychiatrist, writer, former prison doctor. His books are many. Most recently, Admirable Evasions, How Psychology Undermines Morality. I spoke to him about poverty, social equality, psychology, and cultural decline. Anthony or Theodore, explain that distinction.
Well, when I started writing a column from my hospital and from the prison, I needed a kind of a pseudonym, a mask. And I was looking for a name, and it had to be of someone who didn't actually exist.
The Theodore's view of the world is a grim one. It's a challenging view.
Well, it applies particularly to Britain, actually. I'm not quite so pessimistic about other places that I've been to. But, of course, I suppose if you work in a prison and in the hospital next door, where the main difference between these two great institutions was that far more violence in the hospital. If you work in such institutions, you're not likely to get a very sunny view of the world, I suppose.
The breaking of society, I mean, what are the signs of that?
Well, I think broken society is not really a very useful word because, of course, society continues, so it's not completely broken. I mean, but there are signs, particularly in Britain, of a kind of lack of cohesion. Just to give one small example, Britain is now the litter bin of Europe. It's astonishingly littered, and it's littered absolutely everywhere you go. You go to the most remote place, there you will find a bottle of Lucozade or something by the side of the road, or many bottles, actually. And the question is, why is this? And that was a subject that interested me. It first interested me when I used to walk every day between the hospital and the prison, and I would see the detritus that was left behind. And the question then was, well, why has it become like this? What is actually going on? And I used to know the houses past which I walked, there would be no place for people to eat together. There would be a huge television on the wall, but nowhere for them to eat. 20% of children in Britain never eat a meal with any member of their family, or at least not more than once a fortnight.
And these things sound simple, and yet they are profound, are they not? I mean, that sort of breakdown on fundamental social structure has...
Yes, I think it's very important. I mean, if, for example, people haven't been socialised in this very elementary way to work, to eat with one another, if actually their way of eating is to graze continually, but in a solitary fashion, it's not surprising, incidentally, that they become extremely fat, because what they graze on is prepared food, which is fatty and sugary and so on and so forth, and they eat it more or less continually, and they drink terrible sugary drinks and so on.
Often, though, through the necessities of social position and poverty, though, surely?
Well, you see, that again, I dispute that, because I used to go and shop in Indian shops where vegetables were so cheap that you could hardly carry away all that you could buy for about 20 Australian dollars. So it's not true that it's money, it's actually culture. And you don't see it in other countries in Europe to anything like the same extent.
And yet, to some extent, we do see this fairly broadly. I wonder, is this lack of sort of social regard, this sort of lack of respect for the common good, which are key themes of yours or of Theodore's, is this an inevitable consequence of the triumph of the individual?
Well, it's a triumph of individualism without individuality.
Explain.
Well, we're very individualistic, and yet we're very herd-like at the same time. Mm. And you can see this, for example, in the growth of tattooing, which is another interesting subject. When, not all that long ago, tattooing was something that perhaps soldiers and sailors had, and criminals. Mm. And now it's extended right throughout society, more or less.
It is ubiquitous.
But I wonder what people are trying to do with their tattoos. And I think that, on the one hand, they're trying to individuate themselves, and on the other hand, they're trying to conform at the same time as there's still a slightly transgressive nature to tattooing. I mean, it's disappearing, but it's still slightly transgressing. So it seems a very odd, to me, a very odd thing that people want, on the one hand, to be completely different and individual, and on the other hand, do exactly the same as thousands or even millions of other people are doing.
There's almost a sense of entropy about that, isn't there? I mean, once upon a time, we used to conform to social structure, which gave the place shape and form. Now we tend to conform, if we do, to ephemera. We conform to stuff which is of no particularly lasting consequence.
I think tattooing is of lasting consequence.
Yes,
to there the
is
people.
That. Yes, of course.
And I think it's, incidentally, I think that it will be something that will be difficult to reverse, because the people who will regret having been tattooed, tattoos in my view look pretty awful anyway, but when they're old and wrinkly, or older, should I say, they might very much regret it. But they will encourage others to do it because they won't want to feel foolish for having done what they've done. So they will. There's an evangelical nature to it all. So
Anthony Daniels is perhaps better known as Theodore Dalrymple. He's an author of considerable volume and note. A quote for you, Anthony, of your own. "It is only by having desire thwarted and thereby learning to control it, in other words, by becoming civilized, that men become fully human." That idea of constraint, of working against a constraining force as a civilizing impulse, is an interesting one.
Yes, I think it's one which is being lost, certainly in Britain.
Well, I don't understand quite why you don't see the extension beyond Britain. I mean, I would imagine that, for example, something like Donald Trump is the inevitable manifestation of a lot of what you're talking about.
Yes, well, I was in America not recently and had the misfortune to see him on television. And I thought, well, this is another of my many ideas of hell. It's interesting, one can think of thousands of hells. One can't think of one heaven.
This idea of, to go back to it, personal responsibility and self-discipline as sort of moral imperatives, what's the shift that needs to take place to put these values at the heart of social life?
I suppose the realization that they're actually necessary, and that that just giving in to whim is not the way to a happy existence. I suppose in some ways what's happened is that there's been a kind of debased Freudianism, if you like, in which people believe that any thwarted desire is dangerous. There's a kind of hydrological view of things. They think that a thwarted desire turns inwards. It's a bit like pus in an abscess, and if you don't let it out, then then it'll turn inwards and do real damage. I mean, I suppose the ultimate example of this was a man who just killed his girlfriend and said to me, "Well, I had to kill her, doctor, or I don't know what I would have done."
And, oh dear.
And
I ought not laugh.
One ought not to laugh, but one can't help it. And there are other examples. I used to be the what one might call the vulgarity correspondent of a British newspaper, which itself was faced both ways on the question of vulgarity. But anyway, they sent me to Rome to see British or English, I should say, football supporters in a so-called friendly game. And if that was a friendly game, I don't know what a hostile game would be like. And obviously Rome hadn't seen anything like it since 410 AD. Anyway, there was a chap, all the English supporters were screaming abuse, I mean really vile abuse, which I won't repeat, at the Italian supporters for hours and hours on end. And at half time, I asked the chap next to me, incidentally, these were middle-class people. Hmm. I mean, you don't go to Rome for a day unless you've got disposable income. And I turned to the chap next to me. I was the only one not shouting this abuse. And I said, why have you come all this way to shout abuse at the Italians? And he said, well, you have to let your hair down. And I said, I think you should keep it up, frankly. And I don't see why you should let it down. And the point is that people don't understand anymore that habit becomes character. So if you give way all the time, that is what you become, a person without, well, with a very undesirable character. And yet, so character is something that you construct. It isn't just something that's given.
And yet on that question of gratification, I mean, we're schooled as a culture towards that. I mean, that's almost the economic fundamental of what supports our world is the attending to need.
Yes. Desire or want rather than need.
Better expressed. Yes.
Yes. Yes, that's true. I must say I face both ways on this question myself, because I can quite see that our economy needs us to develop new desires, should I say, in order to keep going. So in that sense, we're on an economic treadmill.
The pandering to that desire then undermines the culture that supports that economy.
Yes. So what I suppose I'm hoping for is to have an economy in which people want only those things which are worthwhile. I suppose that's a kind of utopian hope.
A brave new world, Anthony.
Well, I wouldn't want to impose it. And one always has to remember that. I have this kind of slight cognitive distance. I think everything is going to the dogs, you know, and isn't it awful and dreadful, the situation? But my own life is perfectly satisfactory.
Look, wonderful to have this glimpse into that world, Anthony, and thank you. Anthony Daniels, Theodore Dalrymple.
Thank you very much.
There you go, Anthony Daniels, or Theodore Dalrymple, psychiatrist, writer, retired prison doctor. I'm Jonathan Green. More interviews. Check out the RN homepage. Sunday Extra has a page there too. Our summer season is coming up. Hope you have a wonderful time of it in this holiday period. Catch you in 2017.